We've looked now at what the Scripture says, and I only was able to do that briefly. Now, our section deals with how do we develop self-discipline in our life. I want to be very practical about this. First, let's start generally. Number one, start by making a conscious decision to be a self-disciplined person. It starts with a decision of the mind. I want to live the disciplined life, not the chaotic life. Each person, writes R.H. Kelly, chooses to be controlled or uncontrolled in thinking and living. The first step is a personal decision to be disciplined. Now, the wonderful thing about discipline is you can learn it. Maybe you didn't learn it in a home. Maybe you didn't have parents who were concerned about self-discipline. You can learn this, and you have the Holy Spirit within you to teach you and to help you. There was a very interesting article in one of our leading magazines, and I was very interested when I saw this. It wrote this. It stated this. But new research suggests that a lack of self-control during youth may predict health problems, less financial stability, and criminal record by adults. The good news is that self-control can be learned. And so it is something we can learn, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the people of God to help us. Martin Lloyd-Jones says we should be examining ourselves and disciplining ourselves always. Second, consistently pray about developing greater self-control. Now, we know, we've seen already, that it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wants to produce this lovely virtue within us. So, since it's a Spirit-given fruit, we can pray daily, regularly, that God will produce this in us. We can take practical steps to be a disciplined person. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't give up, persevere in this virtue and in this fruit. Now, third, take definite, practical steps to learn self-discipline. Now, again, come back to Paul's analogy of the spiritual athlete. Listen to what he says. We read it earlier. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. And he's thinking himself as a boxer and as a runner. But I discipline my body and I keep it under control. So think of yourself as a spiritual athlete and you're taking the steps of an athlete. So let's think of some very practical strategies for developing this virtue in our life. And we as elders, we need this more than anyone. If you're struggling with self-control, here are some ways you can get started. First, start small. Start small. The people who climbed Mount Everest didn't start one day saying, we should climb Mount Everest. No, they started with running. They started with small hills. They moved to larger mountains, and over a period of several years, they trained. In fact, in our church, we had a young man who climbed Mount Everest. And he made it, by the way, and he's alive today to speak of it. But he didn't just climb Mount Everest. He prepared and he prepared and he trained and he started with small things and he moved to larger things and greater mountains. The same thing is true in learning self-discipline. Start with your room. Start with your car. Start with your desk. Any area of personal organization, start there. Be consistent. Do it daily. Demand of yourself that your desk is clear, that your room is cleaned up. That's how you start. Start small. Small tasks that you can accomplish. Another thing you can do is be on time. Be on time. Now, that may not sound very spiritual, but your character and your word is related to being on time. If you're an elder and you have to speak, you can't show up late. Your whole testimony is on the line. Your character is on the line. You said you would be there at 7. You would speak. You would open up the building. You would get prepared for the meeting, and you show up at 7:30. People will not trust you anymore. They will not listen to you. They will not take you serious. As a leader, you need to show an example of being on time and following through with what you have said. You can't just drift into these things. Now, again, in different cultures, this may not be important, but I can assure you this. If you don't open the building at time, if you don't have out the Lord's Supper at time, and if you don't have the sermon on time, people will just not take you seriously, and they will not even show up, or they'll show up so late. It'll be confusion. So a little thing like showing up on time or being early is a way that you practice self-discipline. It's a way you follow through with what you say you're going to do. And then next, do the hardest jobs first. Someone has said discipline is doing what you have to do when you don't feel like doing it. So, for example, in my life, I have to have a sermon for Sunday morning. I don't start Saturday. I start Monday. I give Monday the entire day to prepare myself for Saturday, for Sunday. And it's often the hardest job. It's something that maybe I don't want to do right today. Maybe I could just push it off a couple days. But if I do it Monday and I work hardest on Monday, then all week my mind has time to work on that sermon. So whatever it is you have to do, write a paper, a special project at work, something that needs to be done at home, you don't want to do it. Do the hardest job first. This brings up a very, very important subject for church elders, and that is the sin or the vice of procrastination. The putting off crowd, the inertia crowd, just put it off to tomorrow, which often means tasks are not accomplished. They're not done. You need to make a very important phone call. You need to show up at the hospital for an operation, and you just procrastinate. You need to get that sermon done or that Bible lesson done, and you procrastinate. And so you do very, very poor work just the last minute. It's a very serious problem. It frustrates people. It'll frustrate your spouse. It'll frustrate the church if you're in the putting off crowd, the procrastination crowd. It causes terrible ill feelings among people. So, what is it you have to do? You don't feel like doing it. It's your hardest job. Do that first. Start on it right now and rebuke procrastination. If you've been given an assignment, do it right away. Don't wait. Procrastination has ruined churches and ruined relationships and families. You will hurt your children, and your home needs to be well managed according to the biblical qualifications. You cannot manage your home or manage the church if you have a procrastination problem. So rebuke it. Confess it to God. Ask for His help that you will be a responsible person. You will be on time. You'll get those small tasks done. You will be the kind of person people look to get work done. And then organize your life. Organize your life. Amazing thing of being a creature created in God's image is that we can organize things. We can plan. We can do amazing things through human organization. I once saw a special on TV of how they build these large ocean liners. I mean, it's just incredible. Like 10,000 engineers, 20,000 workers in the docks. And how people think of bringing together these mammoth pieces of metal, hooking them together, millions of pieces of wires and computers, and it all works and it goes out to sea. Now, without human organization, that could never be done. So the same thing is true in life. We have to organize our life. We have to organize our money. We have to organize our time, our families, our businesses, our work relationships, and the church has to be managed. Nothing worse than a disorganized, mismanaged church. And many suffer for that. There's a lot of frustration and fighting that goes on because of mismanagement. But it starts in your own personal life, that you are an organized person. So let me give you some very practical things that you can use. And I feel strongly about this because I have seen elders ruin churches, even their own families, because they're just a disorganized mess. Organize your life. Number one, organize your life and stay with it. Get a mentality that I am not going to live a chaotic, disorganized, undisciplined life. I'm not going to accept it. I am going to work to be a well-managed person. I manage my time. I manage the money God gives me. I have to manage my body, the talents He gives me, people that I am in charge of. So organize your life and stay with it. Get a mentality. Use a daily planner or a computer program. Don't be living in chaos. You have appointments, write them down. How often? I have been to a restaurant waiting for someone and they go, oh, I forgot. I forgot to write it down. So have some kind of method that you are looking ahead, planning ahead, and you are remembering your duties. This even comes to prayer. People give you prayer requests. Don't just say, oh yeah, I'll pray. No, write it down. Write down when the operation will be, when they face certain procedures medically. You write it down and you're praying at that time and you can call. Plan your day and your week. Here's something my wife and I have done for many years. We either do it Sunday night or we'll have lunch on Monday and we look ahead at the whole week. I see her calendar, she sees mine. We look ahead for the whole month. We look ahead for months. And we see when we can plan time to get away, time to do something with the family, because our calendars fill in so quickly. I mean, I could book every meal in the week if I wanted to. So you look ahead. And then in that looking ahead, you have time for family. You have time for recreation and for exercise and rest. I once saw the schedule printed in a magazine of the schedule of the United States, the President of the United States of America. And in that schedule, very busy schedule, there was time for every afternoon for some rest and for being able to take a day or two off to go to Camp David and to have time away from the office and time for exercise. It was a well-balanced schedule. So plan your day, plan your week, take control of your time. Create a checklist. Number four, create a checklist. In other words, when you get an assignment, when you hear of a prayer need, when something needs to be done, a phone call needs to be made, you write it down right away. Now, if you're like me, I'm not only losing my hair, I'm losing my mind. I forget things. People can tell me something and 5 minutes later, I don't even remember what they told me. So always carry a little card, have a pen with you, and you write it down. It shows you care. It shows you want to be a good manager. It shows you want to be a good shepherd. A good shepherd has to be organized or the sheep will die. He has to manage land. He has to manage water. He has to manage the food, much in the way of management. But it starts with managing yourself. When you can manage yourself well, you can manage others. And then organize your desk and your workplace. Where do you work? Is it at a desk? Is it in another spot? Well, always have that in a state of organization. And so I always like to have a clean desk, and all the papers and piles I have, I put in other places. This helps me to have a sense that I am organized. And when I go to my workplace, I can work and not spend time in confusion looking for things. These are just a couple ideas. I want to continue with some more ideas to help you in a very, very practical way how we can be better managed personally and then as shepherds of people with larger management responsibilities, we can be responsible in these areas. Let's look at this in further.